Hey guys, the following podcast is a Lady Gang Network and Podcast One production, which means it's going to be awesome. Hello everyone, it's Becca Tobin. On behalf of Jenna and Kevin, I wanted to let you know that this episode you're about to hear was recorded several weeks ago before the passing of our cast member and dear friend, the beautiful Naya Rivera. We know a lot of you are in pain, as all of us are too. But we wanted to release this episode to give you guys a little respite from the grief and the pain. And thank you for supporting the podcast and Jenna and Kevin.
Calling all Gleeks.
I'm Kevin McHale.
And I'm Jenna Ushkowitz.
We became best friends on the set of Glee.
And now we're doing the Glee recap podcast you have been waiting for.
How romantic.
Each week we'll take you behind the scenes.
Spill all the Glee tea.
And break down episodes with former cast, crew, producers, and writers that brought the show to life.
This is Showman's Glee Recap Edition.
I think everyone needs a little more tardy in their lives.
See any beautiful faces here.
Oh, hey, Cord.
Hey, Cord.
Hey, Candy.
Oh, my gosh. Jenna with the zit cream on.
Hey, too.
Kevin with the face mask. Wait, Kevin, why are you naked? People could see this.
Kevin, why are you naked?
Kevin's naked, guys. Jenna's wearing a face mask, and she's doing a striptease? What is going on? Oh, my gosh. Jim Carrey's at her house. Jenna, grab Jim.
Cord doesn't need anybody else on a show.
Cordy!
Cord!
Cordy, the man, the myth, the legend. He's here.
I'm here, guys.
The one man the one man show.
We're all here. Me.
We are here.
And me.
Oh. And me. And me. And your lots of guitars.
And if you guys don't know, since you're listening right now, you can't see what's going on. Kevin's naked.
Well,
he's always naked.
I'm always naked.
He records with his just headphones on.
Cord will be naked by the end of this.
Cord's going streaking.
And I forgot how naked I was on that show.
Yeah. And how I like how body positive you were. You were like, yeah, let's get these abs out.
I know. It was almost like I was trying to impress somebody, but it wasn't.
Look,
now, Now I'm trying to impress all the time with the abs, and it's just
you still got them.
I also guess, like, if you do, like, look like that, I probably would also be okay with having my shirt off.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't look like that before the show. I looked like that, like, you know, after.
During the show.
After, like, the first week, I was like, all right, well.
Kick
I
it
up. I heard Mark talk about his yam diet for, like, an hour one day, and I was like, I guess I got to get in shape then.
I mean, not to get ahead, because I know we're not on that episode yet, but I just watched Rocky Horror.
I did too.
In your total, your little gold shorts, Cord. And I remember all of you guys.
I've been wearing those today, actually.
All of you guys were on some wild, wild diet. In that episode.
I wore those gold shorts today, the Ashton shorts, because I had to do a self-tape for wrestling.
Wait, did you really put those shorts on?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
I did a self-tape for a wrestling thing.
They still fit.
I mean, they sure do.
That's crazy.
Ugh.
Okay, let's talk about duets. Do you remember, you guys, this was Eric Stoltz's first episode, and yeah, Cord, this was your first episode in with
Glee
the
Club.
New Directions.
That's right.
This welcome.
My first episode with all of you knuckleheads.
You joined with the wonderful song we did together with Billionaire, which was obviously an incredible performance from us. But you and I talked a little earlier because I was wondering, you're so good in this episode, and I know you come from a musical family, musical background, like country royalty. Like, had you done much acting prior to this? Because you're so damn good and natural.
It's
and
crazy.
Yeah, you're just very, very good.
I mean, I did a little bit, like, growing up and, you know, some commercial stuff. Like, I did, like, an ABC pilot out here.
See, you did.
And then, like, I had a couple tests for other stuff that I was, like, down to the last two guys on and then just didn't get. And then I weirdly got, I did this pilot for this show called, I think, No Ordinary Family.
Oh, yeah.
On ABC.
Mm-hmm.
And the night before I went to the film it and the pilot, it was just like, I just had one like small scene. And then the next step was a couple days later. I went out with my manager at the time and she was like, I want to introduce you to a couple people. It was like, I think it was Jess Sewer's birthday party. And I was like, I don't even know if I was probably 20 or something. I don't know. Maybe even younger. I end up like talking, like meeting a few different people that she's introducing me to and talking over this crazy music. And so like, I lost my voice. And so the next day I went to shoot the pilot.
and I was talking like this.
I couldn't speak. And so I did like a full day of ADR on this pilot. And then I got recast, and I was like, oh, no.
Oh, no.
I got recast on the pilot, and I was like, oh, my agents are going to drop me. This is, you know, I just thought it was like the end of the world. And then like 3 weeks later, I got an audition for this show I hadn't seen called Glee.
Yeah, but that's when you know you're good. Like,
yeah,
for people ridiculous. Who don't pursue this insane career, like, if you keep, and I have lots of friends, I'm sure we all do, like, you have friends who keep testing for pilots, or they get a pilot and doesn't get picked up. Like, when you're circling like that, and it's always down to you and somebody else, and the other person keeps getting it, you're good. So, like, it's going to, it just takes one, and then
Let me ask you, Cord. So, Kevin and I have talked about this, because originally, when we heard there was a new cast member, we thought, and we had heard it was going to be, well, that.
That's damn sure.
That, and also, we thought it was going to be Kurt's boyfriend. So when you came on, we were like, oh, this must be like Kurt's boyfriend. And that was just a couple of episodes before Darren joined. So we were... Yep. Do you remember that? Like, we thought, like, did and we
I know
said
more
to you,
about
like,
this. I know more about all this than you ever want me to say.
Well, yeah.
Please enlighten us. Did you think you were auditioning for Kurt's boyfriend?
No, I was auditioning for a quarterback replacement. I auditioned for the sides. I auditioned with Finn's pilot as Finn. So his breakdown was just the same as Finn. It was just like quarterback, you know, so and so. And then, like, so in my audition, the sides that I had. Red was the one about my mom having a prostate exam.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And so that was this scene with Corey and Mark. I didn't know anything. I thought just thought that was like the quarterback, whatever. And then all of a sudden all this drama started happening around, like people were like speculating that, oh, I was going to be so-and-so's boyfriend, or I was going to be so-and-so's boyfriend, or so. And I was like, I see, honestly, it's whoever's writing this shit, that's what it's going to be. Like, I don't fucking know.
I remember too, like we were trying to like
my ass. Just let me live. Can I live?
Like me, Corey, and Mark. It was sort of like a classic, like trying to figure out the new kid in high school thing of being like, so like, do you know if you're gonna be Kurt's boyfriend? Like, and if you are, like, are you cool with that? And like, I could see the look in your eyes of just like, dude, I just got here.
I literally just showed up to the table, and y'all are trying to feed me dessert already?
Yeah. Yeah, like he, and we were like, we were in the locker room filming some scene, and I was like, what are we doing? I'm like, guys, like,
leave
this,
him alone.
Yeah, we don't, like, no, we don't know, he definitely doesn't know.
It was just Mark. It was Mark and Corey. They were just like, they were just like, fuck with me. And they were just like, and I was just like, guys, I don't even know who Kurt is yet.
It was like super fratty.
It was so fun. Those are some fun times, man.
You did Billionaire, and then you didn't actually join the Glee Club for like a couple of episodes.
We did Grilled Cheeses. We did Britney, which I wasn't in Britney at all.
Yeah.
No.
And then we did Grilled Cheeses, which I think I was.
You played some football in.
I think I was pushing you in a wheelchair on a field or something.
Which one?
Not yet.
Maybe that was Super Bowl.
Yeah, not yet.
That was Super Bowl.
Ball door, guys. No, episode 3. I don't know if I say anything episode 3. I think Lucky was 4. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, Lucky is this episode, which then, you know, Sam and Quinn start their beloved relationship, which I was like, this is really cute, but you also could be brother and sister.
It's not Game of Thrones.
You don't know what Daenerys will do. Maker of chains, mother of dragons.
I also like. I didn't. There's. It's just like real life.
My queen.
It's like real life when, like, high school when there's like new meat. You know, like you got like there's
it
a new body.
All the walls around it just looked like high school.
Yeah, it really did, because we're all like very much just like Kurt's character is trying to figure out if Sam's gay, and like we were all like,
you know, just
gay?
Don't just
it took about 30 seconds.
They got blonde hair. Yeah, I mean, he could be gay. He could also just have blonde hair.
It's true.
Showmance is supported by Carefree Breathe. They offer a line of skin-friendly pads and panting liners that go beyond leak protection to keep your skin dry and irritation-free. Check them out at Amazon, Walmart.com, CVS, or your local grocery store. Carefree Breathe is clinically tested to meet sensitive skin standards. They are free from fragrances, dyes, and harsh irritants. The air-infused cover has a soft-touch feel and keeps your skin dry. So ladies, let me tell you, there is no other way to go except for Carefree Breathe if you're looking for something that is not going to irritate and that's going to feel great on your skin. Also, for light days, reach for Carefree Breathe panty liners. So when you need more protection, they've got you covered with their super and overnight absorbencies. When periods happen, stay protected and help prevent feminine discomfort with Carefree Breathe ultra thin pads. Start living carefree today. For more information or to buy, check out on Amazon or Walmart.com, or you may find it at your local grocery store or CVS.
Hey, this is Jack Vanek from the Lady Gang Podcast, and we have been busy creating even more opportunities for our fans to get to know us with our New York Times bestselling book, Act Like a Lady, and exclusive Lady Gang clothing line with Express. But it all started with the podcast, and we've had some awesome interviews lately like Tan France, Kyle Richards, and Lucy Hale.
Literally slapped the shit out of me after driving out to pull over. I was like, I'm driving.
She, right before, was literally talking about the size of her husband's penis. Again.
And like, I'll read scripts where it's like 25 years old with a baby, but nobody can see me with a baby.
Yeah. Maybe just have a baby. So be sure to check out the Lady Gang Podcast on Apple, Spotify, and Podcast One. We can't wait to hang out with you.
Also, what a complicated, I didn't remember this at all, per usual, of like Finn calling out Kurt.
And wasn't there like a weird stepbrother thing there?
Yeah, because Kurt was all about Finn the first season.
Was Kurt and Finn related?
Not yet, but their parents were dating.
Because Finn's like, you know, if it was a girl, they would take out a restraining order and with how he was acting. Which
my
I
only
was like,
caveat,
that's a bit much.
Yeah, because my only caveat is like, okay, if you're the only gay kid in the school, how else do you find out if there's somebody else who's gay? Like, you have to sort of like put yourself out there to go after somebody.
Well, he's the only one, yeah.
Because, exactly. Like, you don't know. Luckily, Cord was so, you're such like an easygoing, nice, like, open-minded person, because like you came into our like crazy clown house of assholes and you were just
fit
so
right
open
in.
to like,
hey, you know what, guys,
hanging out. And
here's my theory: everybody at some point is an asshole.
That's fair.
Just don't catch them on a bad day, and there's some people that have gotten caught on some pretty bad days.
That's fair.
You know, just try to sweep those days under the rug as far as you can.
As long as they're in the minority of the amount of days.
I mean, that's just the thing. It's like, I know I've definitely been on edge at times with just, you know, people are going through stuff, you know, but you know.
Right. I mean, I guess also in this episode, literally your first scenes are with Chris Colfer, with Kurt, Sam and Kurt. And you're like, well, there it is.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I didn't even think about, they
because he wants him to be his 2F partner.
I didn't realize how many times I had been, how much of that episode was, there was a hair thing going on to where my hair was shorter and then it was longer and then it was shorter again and then it was longer. And
what happened there?
I remember it.
I watched today and I was like, I remember. She cut my hair in the middle of the episode without asking and just goes, oh, your bangs are too long.
Linda.
Yep. Because poor Cord.
Janice.
Cord like walked into the choir room to rehearse and we're all like, what happened? And
like, he
was pissed. He's like, I don't know. She just cut my hair. Cause like, what are you going to say? Like,
I didn't even say, yes, cut my hair. She goes, your bangs are long. It goes, boom, boom, boom. I was like, what?
And cut them straight across, just clear straight across.
I looked like a toddler who had found his mom's scissors.
Well, it's funny because like every other scene, you have different bangs.
It's true. Very different.
Hair gate.
I was like, all of a sudden, I had in front of my eyes, and the next thing I know, I was like, sorry.
No, you're fine. When did we learn about these impressions of yours, Cord?
I think I was just like, I guess.
That was written in at the end because you did your impressions, correct? Like, yeah, this happened.
I was just like doing them on the side to like Mark and Falchuk and just like goofing around. And
then we caught on.
And I was just like, well, I don't know. The Matthew McConaughey thing is in there really early.
Well, see, I remember.
But I guess I'd been there for like a month at that point or 2 months.
Because during Grilled Cheeses, I remember we spent during like the football stuff, like we were in Long Beach quite a bit at nighttime and everyone was around. And I remember like that's when we were all, you know, we're like we're loopy. It's like midnight or 1 a.m. And I think that's when those things might have started. And that just how like sort of like Heather turned into Brittany.
I also think
that, like that's how it sort of evolved.
I think that I was doing it from day one and just joking around because
yeah,
I just always do that. So that's probably, it's probably just like, oh, seeing this ridiculous personality for 2 weeks straight. Yeah. Okay. We've heard enough. We're going to put some stupid shit in the, like the
yeah,
whole,
but it makes
the
it
whole
so
James
Earl
Jones things. I don't know how the James Earl Jones thing got written into an episode. I know that I was doing it a lot.
I know how it got written in. It's because we loved it. Mm-hmm. It was our favorite.
We like forced them. We're like, Ryan, listen to this.
Cord, you also got really slushied really fast. You were like slushied before any of us.
Oh my gosh. You know what pissed me off more than anything? It's that episode. I think it was James Earl that was thrown at my face.
Probably, yeah. You, him or Max, really.
And I love James. And James is just one of the sweetest guys. But he missed the right shot about 8 times.
No!
Yes, he missed the right. And I have a freaking target on my shirt. And so I wonder if it was because there was a target on me. It threw his accuracy off. But yeah, I got like 8 partial slushies to each side of my face. Oof. Until they got like up and in and like.
Damn.
Also, who thought of that? Who thought of throwing a slushie at somebody?
Well, yeah, we asked that
sort of seems to be
day.
Like the unanswered question, because I think we asked Brad that too, and he didn't really know where it came from.
I think it was Ian.
Yeah, I think so too.
We gotta ask Ian what happened with the slushy thing, you know?
Yeah, we could call him and ask him.
Let's text him.
It was at 3 a.m. too.
Oof.
Ugh, horrible. Well, you missed the succession of the slushies, Cord. You came in after the slushies were real, then the slushies were fake. Then they were real again. The fake slushies. Yeah, we all got real ones because the fake ones only happened to, I think, Diana and Corey, but they didn't stick the same. So they just ended up being like silicone and jelly, and then they would just.
Oh, yeah, I did feel some of those.
And it didn't work. Didn't work. So they went back to the regular. So you missed the succession of them, but lucky you. Lucky you.
Speaking of lucky.
Yeah, and speaking of lucky, which also makes me think of Tor.
There were lots of big Tor numbers in this episode. I was watching it last night.
River Deep?
I could do that dance right now if you asked me to.
River Deep.
Do it right now.
And lucky, yeah, 5, 6, 7, 8.
It's so much fun.
When I was a little girl, I had a rag doll. Is that the right song?
Yeah.
Yes.
There were so many good numbers in this episode. Like, why didn't we do more like duet episodes? Because
And that's it. Why it was on tours? Because like they're so much fun. Like they're so much fun to watch and to do. Is like the.
Well, it's so much more fun to like interact with somebody than entertain a group of people. Mm-hmm. Like, not meaning it's not fun to entertain a group of people, but
totally.
On stage having something to play with.
Yeah,
it's so much different than being, you know, when you're on there. On stage by yourself, regardless of if you're killing it or not, there something might slip into your head of like, oh, did I just do something weird? Or,
Well, and like you and Diana together, it's also such a good way to see like Sam interacting with the Glee Club in a new and different way because you walk in like, oh, he's so charming. And then you see
Kirk like, after him.
Yeah. And you see you and Quinn, you're like, oh, he is just like oozing charm. And again, in real life, everyone was like, Cord is so adorable. Like everyone was obsessed with you.
It was so weird watching that episode back today. It was just like, wow, those are my choices. But like watching, it's like, but I wasn't like mad at it. I wasn't like, oh, like like you analyzing just, myself like that, I was just like, oh wow, that's a little bit more confident than I probably would have said things now.
Like, that's why I said you were so good.
It was like a little, it was just almost like a little, it was genuinely naive and unaware.
See, like that's what happens when you start on Glee.
I had genuinely been unexposed to pretty much a world of things. And that was like me coming onto that. And that was like, oh wow, I'm completely like, I'm missing social cues and like, I'm missing jokes here and there. And just like, it's just wild to see, like, because that was 10 years ago, maybe more.
Yeah.
Like, looking at it now, I'm like, it, just looking at yourself 10 years ago, but having video.
I know. And edited. That's video, it.
It's crazy to watch.
Forever recorded.
It's a weird time capsule.
But I like that. I love the idea of Finn and Rachel. I like when they have, like, a task in hand or a mission. Mm-hmm. And their mission was to make sure that Sam felt like he was in the, their stakes were high. And like, they wanted to make sure Sam felt comfortable and felt like he was a part of the group. So what did they do? They got everybody to throw the competition. And they also did that incredibly offensive strange number.
Oh, it was so good though.
I just noticed, like, I forgot, like, how funny Corey was, like, his timing and his, like,
so
his, like, his ability to play. I probably picked up some of this stuff just watching him do what he does, but his ability to play the slightly unaware and not, like, not arrogant.
Mm-hmm.
It was like when he was doing the number, like the Mary, did you know, or was that what it was called?
No.
Hold on. It's called, it's actually not even on this list.
I don't know. But it was like the way he's moving off and he's so serious and he's genuine, but all of a sudden he's playing it like it's a comedy thing. I was like, that is such a fine line and such a skill. And I was watching, I was like,
so brilliant.
Oh, wow. I didn't appreciate this as much like as I do now. Like, he is killing it.
Oh, yeah.
And like, it was just the combination of the seriousness and the awkwardness and then the fact that he's kind of hamming it up a little bit. It was just great.
And it's also one of those things too where like, he and Leah together did have like the most insane chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you, when they're like sitting plotting and planning this, you're like, oh, this is real. Like, a lot of this episode was a lot of how like we talk in real life to one another.
Uh-huh.
And it felt like, besides, like Corey was very much like playing the doofus, but like, oh,
not
how Leah's.
Really. It was just more like, it wasn't like a doofus. It was more just like,
blissfully unaware.
It was so unaware of what the perception was. That's why he's not in on the joke, is why it's funny.
Yeah.
It was so good.
There's such a nice ease when Eric directs, like, like between the actors, like,
it's
very conversational. It's very real. It's very.
This started our like love affair with Eric Stoltz.
Yeah,
we were so excited every time he directed.
I think that might have a lot to do with it because that was. Eric was one of the first directors I got to work with. He was just always so much fun. He had the rule, no sides on set. And it was like, and I think the fact that no sides were on set, it.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. People don't know.
Yeah.
It's up to be outside of like, you know, whatever structure it was to where there was like, there was just a little bit more of a play. There was like,
an
era of just like, we encourage playing and not being so word perfect and just like, having fun and goofing around. And that was one of the things that he was so great with. Like, even with background, he would say like, mm-hmm. over there in the corner, you guys like making out, you're dumping the trash can out on the ground behind. Just, he just wanted energy going on back. That was like in the background. That was just real.
It was all about realism. Like people, like Jenna, you mentioned, like if we're in the library, we're not yelling in the library. We'd be whispering in the library. He was very much about like, let's just keep this grounded and real. And then just to explain like what Cord was talking about, it's like normally when you're on set, you have lines. Like they print up
supervisor.
Yeah. Like, and they print up like little sides that as they're called, and you bring them up and you go to rehearse, you can hold them in your hand. And that's what we were used to for a season and four episodes. And he had this new rule that we were not allowed to bring them on set. And it was sort of like this panic of like, who is this
tyranny?
And like changing the game. Like, we have a system. Oh, and
me
it was
too.
Great because
I was like, wait, nobody knows that I'm not saying the right thing.
Yeah. It was all about play. It was so much fun. And he would come up and like whisper in your ear, like, try this or try that. Like, even the thing at the end with Heather rolling the meatball across, that wasn't scripted. And he had, he had to ask to add that in and get that approved.
That was like, so like, there was an episode where Leah and Amber were asking me to prom. And, or something, I can't remember what it was. Anyways, it was like Leah and Amber were asking me to prom. And they're trying to get a reaction out of me. And it's like, they're like, you want to go to prom? And Eric comes over. He's like, all right, Cord, we're going to do this one more time. We got the take in the bag, but we're going to do it one more time. Don't think. Just kind of just react, whatever. Goes over to them, whispers in their ear. I don't know what's going on.
He'd love to do that.
And he'd go over there and he'd whisper in their ear. And so like, when it's on my coverage and they're getting my reaction, I didn't know what was about to be said. And they come out there and instead of being like, hey, Sam, would you go to prom with us? They're just like coming up there and they're like, hey, we both want to blow you right now. And I was just like, the reaction
was so good.
Because I was so caught off guard.
He's so good like that.
It's so Eric's so fun. Good.
Eric would always, my favorite thing about Eric also was, I mean, he was so fast, but he also, if there was ever something in the script, would be like, I don't know why you would want to do that, Sam, Artie. And he'd be like, take out the Sam, take out the Artie.
Yes.
It's like, when do we really ever say, like, in a normal sentence of dialogue? And well, yeah, like, oh, my God, you, Kevin.
That has stuck with me for forever because I'm now so conscious of it.
We notice it. You notice it all
watching
over the place.
TV shows or movies.
The only times people are saying other people's names is usually if they're climaxing or if somebody's lost.
Right. Right.
Those are the two rules. If you're writing
that's
a script,
if you're
those
lost,
are the only times
you're climaxing, that's the only times it's acceptable. And when I say climaxing, I mean, you know, the summit of, you know, Everest.
Right. Right,
yes, this is Cord's Masterclass. Showmance is supported by LaCroix Sparkling Water, which delivers refreshment, flavor, and sparkle, Jenna, the best part, with an innocent twist of zero calories, zero sweeteners, and zero sodium.
And there are 27 LaCroix flavors, and the newest additions to the family are limoncello and pastéque. With European finesse and unique flavor innovation, our exciting new limoncello and pastéque are joining the LaCroix family of flavors. Kevin, limoncello, you can sip, savor, and it's pure joy in every limoncello LaCroix. And for the pastéque, which is just in time for summer, you can enjoy LaCroix's newest refreshing flavor, which is French for watermelon, if you didn't know.
Oh, my favorite. LaCroix sparkling waters are gluten-free, vegan, kosher, and non-GMO, Whole30 approved, and environmentally friendly. LaCroix cans are sustainable and recyclable, and they're the first on the market to be produced without BPA liner. Enjoy LaCroix sparkling water, a healthy alternative for you and your lifestyle.
We love LaCroix! I have been drinking a lot of tangerine and berry while I've been home. We absolutely love LaCroix.
I've gone through two packs of tangerine in the past week.
LaCroix sparkling water is available nationwide. So for a full list of retailers, visit LaCroixWater.com. So for more information, join the LaCroix community on social at LaCroix Water. Support for today's episode comes from Progressive Insurance. Fun fact, Progressive customers qualify for an average of 6 discounts when they sign up for Progressive Auto Insurance. Discounts for things like enrolling in automatic payments, insuring more than one car, going paperless, and of course, being a safe driver. Plus, customers who bundle their auto with home or add renter's insurance save an average of 12% on their auto.
There are so many ways to save when you switch, and once you're a customer with Progressive, you get unmatched claim service with 24/7 support online or by phone. It's no wonder why more than 20 million drivers trust Progressive and why they've recently climbed to the third largest auto insurer in the country. Get a quote online at progressive.com in as little as 5 minutes and see how much you could be saving.
Auto insurance from Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Home and renter's insurance not available in all states. Provided and serviced by affiliated and third-party insurers. Discounts vary and are not available in all states and situations.
Love the other character in this episode, that which is breadsticks.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
and then they pull out the
breadsticks. Character.
Like, they pull out the breadsticks, and it's literally like these, like, you know, hardened pretzels that they plastic bags.
And every time we go to breadsticks, it would be 12 a.m.
Like, I'm not eating that. It's 3 in the morning.
It was always so late. We shot breadsticks at the
Dude, but when you think about it, doesn't it feel like yesterday when you think about it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I never got to go to Breadsticks that often, so every time I...
You were there way more than you think.
Because really?
You were there with Puck and Brittany, and when Puck takes you on as community service.
Yeah, but I felt like other people were at Breadsticks all the time.
Hey, remember when we did Love Shack there?
See? Kevin, you were there a lot more than I think.
That was a miserable night. I got the eel bone caught.
Yeah, that's when you got that. I do love like Santana's affinity for breadsticks.
I needs me, my breadsticks. And the both of them. But Santana's my favorite line from Santana, which, you know, there's a lot. What?
Didn't she say, I got to get my snicks on?
No, her sticks on, Cord. Oh. Her sticks on.
You watch it.
My favorite, she says, is I'm like a lizard. I need something warm beneath me or I can't adjust my
food. Oh, yeah. Two things. One, the biggest thing of, like, this is really the start of, like, Brittany and Santana. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, but then also you and Brittany.
Which is also, like, why am I whispering the entire time? Why do I whisper every line that comes out?
I think you just rely on a mic.
Eric Stoltz told you to pretend you were in a library.
It's probably...
For the entire series.
So, Kevin Kill, this whole episode, are you going to be in a library?
This is also when I realized Naya and I couldn't be in scenes together. This is like, I think, the first and last time. Because if you notice, when we're in the cafeteria and she's talking to the guy who looks about 40, that I don't look at her once. Because every time I looked at her, we would both lose it.
Oh,
so
no.
I had to look away the entire time because she had this crazy monologue.
She's hard to do scenes without laughing.
Yeah, because she's funny.
She's so fucking good, man.
She's one of those people that's so naturally funny.
Yeah.
That's true.
And also this episode, I know we all know Amber's like, incredible, obviously, but watching her play off of Naya in River Deep, you truly realize like they're like musical superstars. Like why they weren't I don't know why people weren't making albums.
Right.
I think a lot of that had to do with
it wasn't us. That was, it wasn't us.
I remember.
I got in trouble first season.
Yeah, it was a dark time.
You know, I never want to get drugged to the principal's office and get spanked.
Oh, right. My God. It's a terrifying place.
But then they write a whole storyline about it, and Kevin gets more storylines. So,
hey, if that's the case, Kevin, you know, bring that paddle out. You can spank me any day.
Cord, I think you have it from last time.
Guys, 90% of this is going to have to be deleted.
Yeah, I don't even know what this episode is. Also, I feel like the Kurt number, which... I want to talk about for a second because
yes,
I love the Jazz Hot. I love the number for Kurt. It was probably Chris's dream. I remember him doing Victor Victoria. But do you remember that I had to do that number?
Yes.
I was in that freaking number and you don't see me once. You see silhouettes and shadows.
No, you see you actually once.
And, honestly,
you're the only other person in that number.
No,
Heather and Harry.
Brooke was in it. I think I swear I saw Brooke in it.
I don't think Brooke was in it. It was devastating because it was a very hard number to dance.
Why was everybody in it?
I wasn't in it.
I don't know because there was no reason that I needed to be in that number. And
yeah,
I'm
but
not
you
a
know
dancer
what?
Like that.
I
that
bet
was really hard.
I bet that was a Stoltzy call because you would be in it.
You're right. He does. He calls people in. He used to call people in and be like, you were in this.
Yeah.
I just was like, this is really hard. I mean, this should be for the dancers to do because I have other things to worry about.
Yes, I was not a great dancer, so.
No, it was hard.
Jenna, you also had a great storyline with Harry.
The Chicken Feet was in this episode.
It was really funny. You two together also were so good.
The sing song?
That was great. I don't think I enjoyed doing that number as much when I was doing it. But I loved it. I watched it and I was like, oh, this is really fun.
Yeah, I went back and watched.
Harry was so cute.
I went back and watched all those numbers. Like, man, the show was so fun. Like,
the numbers especially.
The musical numbers were so good.
And honestly, it was, there was such a drive around, it didn't matter what the numbers actually were. It was like the drive around, like the intention, getting people to be each other's partners, that like, mm-hmm. I think the drive of this episode was so clear, and it didn't have to be anything plot driven. It just had to be like these characters doing what they do best. Right. Like we were all really funny and really strange. And the numbers like were spot on. I mean, good choices all around. Yeah, it showed how great
everybody like kind of weirdly was together in their own way. Like everybody individually could, you know, they did something really well.
Right. No, totally. Yeah. I mean, like Rachel and Friend from the beginning when they were like canoodling about the whole like Sam thing was very funny.
I also this has turned into things we just like about this episode.
That's fine.
When Finn is like, oh my God, I've never seen you like do something that's not for yourself. And then as the conversation is going on, he's like, well, ultimately, this does
it's
benefit
no good
you.
Deed goes unpunished.
And she's just like, I'm going to ignore that. It's
great.
Or
when Brittany is seducing Arnie to get him to do a duet and she points at her boobs at Santana and is like,
So good.
So good.
And also, she also said, like, you're on the football team now.
That's my favorite thing was that Artie was like, Tina used to make this look so easy, and I was like,
Artie was so
I don't know. I did like being our storylines being still intertwined in some way.
Yeah, it was cute. You could see like that we were.
Well, Tina was like, well, Mike won't sing with me, so I'll go back to Artie then.
Yeah, and I was still hung up on you and just getting used by everyone. But, like, whatever.
That's a great day, guys. Nobody knows.
High
school.
And then you and Sam and Quinn are very cute.
I don't think I've ever enjoyed Diana more than, like, when she was interacting with you in this episode.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Diana is, I always really like watching.
You guys are just so charming with one, because you're both like two of the most charming people on the planet.
It's so cute.
Yeah, well, she's super sweet. Easy to wear. It's just like, you know, anybody could smile and have a good time.
That's true.
Also, Kurt and Rachel's scene when they're like, oh, we're going to do the duet, and Kurt sprays the hairspray. I was like, I just haven't seen detail like that in a while.
No, my favorite line was there.
There was so much little detail.
Yeah, that's Eric.
So much.
That's totally Stoltz.
When she's just saying that you remind me of me, and he's like, that's rude.
Yeah, he's like, I'm offended.
You know, I just said about Stoltz, like, as he starts directing more and more, we would have more conversations with him on set about like how deeply he just cared about all the characters, when it's easier, I think, for somebody coming in to dedicate that much time and specificity to it. Because, you know, like Brad, Ian, and Ryan are taking care of these characters and their storylines and trying to write 22 entertaining episodes.
Right.
Where he would come in and just give that extra level of like thought and attention because he could.
Like little
and
details.
Yeah, and he knew like it wasn't his place, but like, he always wanted to be like, I just wish I could like change this or rewrite this. And,
right.
I mean, it would turn the episode into a 15-day shoot as opposed to an 8, but there were always just like such thoughtful considerations that he would add.
Well, I mean, the extras always felt like
they felt like utilized. Like they felt
right.
They weren't just passing through a frame. It was like they were walking in the background and they had this activity and this. What it does is it just brings life to the whole square.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it gives it a different dimension. It just adds so much energy that you don't even really think about.
There was one episode, I think it was prom, the first prom, where Harry and
was it the Tina dinosaur and, prom?
No, it was Jar of Hearts prom. Which one was that one? I don't think there was a theme. It wasn't Grundle prom either. It was the first prom. a prom queen, maybe it was, and Stoltz directed it, and he had girls with no shoes on. He had girls with like men's jackets on, and he said during Jar of Hearts, he was like, You guys should be making out during this.
Oh, that's right.
He's like, make out for the whole song. And I was like, we were like, what? And Heron are like, oh my God. So we shot that number about 15 times. And that number is like 3 minutes long. So we're making out.
Was it good?
And we're just like, it was a lot. And Harry and I, by the end of it, were literally like mouth to mouth, just hysterical laughing into each other's mouths. Cause we were like, this is insane.
Jenna, is it weird to make out with someone when we were also so close with his girlfriend at the time, his now wife?
It was, but it wasn't, because we made out a lot on the show. Like, there was just, it was a lot. And like, we also were like, it was all very fun and games for us. But anytime anybody wanted to get us, like, get somebody to kiss in the scene, it would be me and Harry. Like, always. So we'd be like, here we go. Like, always. We'd just be, like, sucking face. But, yeah, I mean, Shelby, I'm like, I'm not here to take yo's man. Don't worry.
I just remembered a story.
Wow.
Sorry. We had press come during the Jazz Hot as Chris was rehearsing it.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And the music cuts out
during the
rehearsal.
I will never forget.
And it's
that.
Like, oh, we have an audience in the auditorium, an audience full of press, and the music stops, and everyone's like, oh God, like, what happened? This is going to ruin us. And then Chris just starts singing it live on the stage, and everybody still does the dance, and it was incredible.
We finished it live.
Yeah. The music stopped like a quarter of the way through.
Yeah.
Like, there was a lot left.
Oh, no, and we were dancing to absolutely no music at all.
It was incredible. It was one of my favorite moments. And it was just like, okay, give Chris all the good press, all the awards, because he just, like, earned it. It was great.
Yeah, I remember that. This episode was a doozy. But I bet you Eric Stoltz made it go so quickly. I mean, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 songs in this episode.
Cord, how did you feel about joining the Glee Club?
I felt great about it. What are you talking about? What am I drinking?
We probably put you in the hot seat a million times during that episode.
Guys, I was on the pole the next season, you know, so the Glee Club was like the highlight of my high school career before I started stripping at Stallions.
Oh my gosh, that's right. But first you join, you have a Justin Bieber band that sings at bar mitzvahs, right?
I can't wait to get
so
to
many
that.
Bucket list things. I had the Justin Bieber experience, I had the Stallions, and then I had duets.
This episode, I think just because it was so character driven and so much fun, it was so concise and clear and fun. Like
also, mixing everybody up into different combinations is always fun.
And there's a game. You're putting hot water with cold water.
And we got Cord out of it, you know?
That's right.
We
and
got
it was
him
all
in
about
our clutches
that
and
episode.
We, yeah.
Making him feel good. Making him stay.
Making me stay, making me feel good.
And hopefully we made you feel good in real life. Were you terrified of us?
Gosh, no, it's so weird. I was talking to my mom about that when I was back home. She was like, well, do you talk to anybody still from the show? And I was like, oh yeah, you know, like, you know, I see Darren and Diana, Kevin, Jenna, and, you know, Matt, and pretty much, you know, Becca and all the people that we kind of still hang out with, Harry and go on and on. But I was like, it's so weird because you could go years and years without seeing anybody, and then it's literally like this instant connection relationship you have with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to explain, because immediately I could like talk with you guys. It's effortless. We all kind of went through the same thing for such a long period of time that it's just like, it's just kind of ingrained in us now.
Yeah.
It is weird because like we're lucky in life to have a friend or two that you can interact with in that way, where it's like, if you don't talk every day, you still go back to as you were. And we have a whole gigantic group that we could do that with.
Yeah. It's almost like, and not to, I don't want to say this and make like a broad statement with it, but it's almost like going to battle with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like once you're in the trenches with people and you're like, you know, you sweat and you bleed and you know, you cry together, you go through something. There's just some tie there that just kind of sticks in like every fiber you have.
Well, I think that also like happens because we went through the highest and lowest of times together, and we were lucky to have each other through those times. And unfortunately, we had to go through some of the low times, but like, thank God that we did have like the support and friendship. I mean, how many times did the crew tell us over and over of like, it's not normal that everybody gets along like this in a TV show. That's not normal. Because think of, if anybody listening, you think about family, people that you love, and if you had to be with them 16 hours a day,
oh, you'd be
day,
so pissed.
Oh my God. And we were all obsessed with each other. And so it was nice that we had, like, we were so, you can't plan that. And luckily,
I know it was just, yeah, like, we're a just weird, like that. It was like a weird family. It's like, if I was in a city I wasn't in, I would hit up everybody I knew that I was working with that was in that city. And,
yeah.
You know, if I was going to New York and Jenna was up there, or Leah or Diana, yeah, or whoever's in New York, like, that time.
Always.
We would just always just go.
And, like, connect.
And it just, yeah, it still happens every now and then. We're just not, you know.
Well, I mean, even quarantine, we have our little, like, we, you know, our little hang, and it's like, who does that?
We've all talked more in quarantine than
we have in a while, before. Right?
On Zoom calls, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, it says something that, like, when it comes time to prioritize, like, our time with people, especially in this situation, like, who are we prioritizing our time with? And it's right. Still with each other.
Right. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Which is nice. My mom was asking about that, and I was like, oh, that's really, so I talked about it. I was like, oh, it's such a hard thing to explain to people, though.
It is. Because only we know how it feels or how to explain it to each other.
Man, there's so many things I'm going to be watching. Like, if I rewatch this, it's going to be like, I cannot believe we did. Like, I forgot like 90% of it.
Oh, no. I mean, that's the whole podcast, is us forgetting things and reminding each other. But, like, rewatching the show has definitely jogged my memory of, like, periods in time of, like, yours when you joined was, like, specific for me. Because, like, then we, like, start to get to know you.
You were the first new, like, blood in the Glee Club. So we were...
But then you're like, oh, and then we did the Super Bowl episode. So that was like a big milestone as well when we did the Chevy commercials. Yeah. And like, you know, there's like moments in time where you're like, oh, I remember that.
I forgot we did that.
Yeah. Crazy.
I forgot that happened.
I know.
Like, you know it's bad if like 1 year we're in two Super Bowl commercials and we forget.
Oh,
like, that's
God.
Bad.
That is bad.
Like, we were just sort of.
Kevin, there's a lot on my mind right now. Give me a break. I've been talking about it for 3 months.
I was talking about myself. Don't worry.
Mm. Well, people forget, though, you know?
But then, like, that was, like, a lot of the season, Court, if you watch, is a lot of tour. Like, a lot of the tour numbers. Because we only did two seasons before we did the tour. So we had a smaller pool.
No, that season was, like, going back and watching season two is such a good season.
So
it really
solid.
Is. Like,
so
we're
solid.
Right in the thick
I
of it.
I think season two for most shows is usually they're like
bread and butter.
Their stride, like, to where they're in the sweet spot. Usually it's by season two, because they've got all the, you know, first season introducing the characters and setting everything up, and now they're just like,
and this is also when they know us, and so, like, we've said it before, Cord, where, like, this season is a lot where they take, like, things that happen in real life and adapt them to us as characters, and I think, like, seeing little things like you doing impressions and seeing how, like, obsessed everyone was with you and, like, how charming and how much we thought of you, like, they clearly wrote that into this episode, and that continues, where the more they're around us, they get to know us, the more they're implementing that into the show, which I think makes the show and our chemistry with each other that much better. And I think people can see that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's just kind of like, it's always great. And then you see people bring stuff to life, and that's just human beings do, you know, whether it's on the writing side or creative side, they write something and it's just like really vivid. Director takes it really vivid. Actors take it. They add something to it. So everybody, you know,
well,
teamwork.
Well, great. There's just so much detail.
Yeah.
That's true. And then before we even went to tour, we went to New York for a whole episode where I don't even think we shot maybe 10 minutes the entire time. I don't remember working at all in New York.
New York?
Oh, I do.
Is that
we went to New York?
Bloomberg?
Yes, Bloomberg. We met Bloomberg.
Damn.
That was weird.
But, like, we would be able to get to a set or a location. They'd have to block it off because there would be so many fans. And we would work for maybe 8 minutes. And that's it.
We shot the, in New York, we shot the,
This is the night, is a beautiful night.
Yes.
All it better than I'll take.
Yep.
When we did that scene in that episode, I had Stephen, like, I was friends with Stephen Baldwin. I had Stephen come by set. Stephen and Haley came by set.
Yeah.
I remember that.
We hung out with them all the time back
then.
Yeah,
they were the freaking, they were
around a lot. That's right. That whole
New York was fun, though, because it was seriously just guerrilla shooting, and we were all, like, going out.
It was quick. It was to the point. It was like we got exactly what we need to get. Yeah. And then
only shoot so much because we had crowds of like hundreds of people watching.
New Yorkers don't mess around. They're like on top of stuff.
Yeah. I remember we were in the park shooting that number and the paparazzi was like next to the camera, literally shooting.
Right. Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, this is wild. And then we just did like so much fun. Yes. So my family was extras in that number.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. We did that whole fountain number. I remember doing more stuff hanging like socially than actually shooting in that episode in New York.
Well, what was the one we did? We were in New York for
a while.
No, we did. It was later on. We went to that frozen hot chocolate thing when we did the STD
episode. Oh my God. It was the STD episode.
I wasn't in that.
Yeah. Was it that episode?
Yeah. Yeah. You guys did that one.
Oh God. We were at Serendipity.
I love Serendipity.
Not after this.
I ate so many frozen hot chocolates.
There's this restaurant in New York called Serendipity, and they're famous for their frozen hot chocolates. And we were all so excited because they're so good.
But was it in the episode?
Yes.
No.
So we had to eat so many because once you do it the first take,
I'm like, continuity? Okay, yeah.
You got to keep doing it. I was so sick afterwards.
That's when you learn you like don't eat in a scene. I did that with chips once in one of our episodes, and I was like, the roof of my mouth.
That's the Brad Pitt eats in like
always
every
eating,
scene.
But at least it's good stuff. He's like either eating tacos or an apple, where like other scenes are like, don't eat chips. It's like a lot of chips.
Oh, well, that episode was really fun to watch. Go back and watch.
Yeah.
It was a good one. I kind of forgot about it a lot about it. But
I just remember
was pretty
that Artie lost his virginity. That was basically it.
When
remember
you get
from
picked
that.
Up.
Did you?
Yeah.
It's cute. Wow. Heather, Brittany picks up Artie and takes his virginity.
He mounts me.
How long did you and Brittany do it for?
I think that was it.
No, don't you date a little bit longer?
Yeah, but this was just... Like this episode was like that, and then there's a rekindling later on, I think.
Before you date Sugar Mata? Oh yeah, because you date in New York when you do my cup, right?
Yes.
I cannot keep track of your dating history, Kevin.
Artie dates
really
more people
around.
Than anyone. Yeah, Artie's a hoe.
Dang.
That's why he gets all his STDs.
Oh my goodness.
Idiot.
Idiot.
That's why he gets all those STDs.
Yeah. Oh my God. Sorry, that was when Taylor Swift showed up.
What happened?
I was filming a scene where they did it where it's like in that STD episode, Artie is seeing like three different girls. And so they had to do this thing where I'm wearing this really gross, hot, sweaty like sweater outfit and in my like New York apartment that we were shooting in LA. And so they had all these three girls like coming in and out to sort of like shoot the same sequence with all of them. And then Roger comes up, the AD comes up to me and is like, Kevin, Taylor Swift is here and she would like to see you. No. I'm like, oh yeah, cool. Where is she? And he's like, she's right behind me. Everyone is dead silent because, you know, it's like
people start clapping.
No, but it's the Taylor Swift, and everyone is acting
Kevin!
Like the Pope is in the room.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, oh, hey. She's like, hey. She's like, I'm filming this thing for like the VMAs next door on the other stage, and I just wanted to see who was here. And it was just me. So like we all had hung out with Taylor a lot before that, and it was just like – it was very strange. It was very – because in my head, she's super nice and everything, but in my head, yeah. I was like, this is Taylor fucking Swift. And she's visiting me at my place of work. Granted, she just wanted to see who was there. She didn't see, like
were you in your STD outfit, Kevin?
No, but I was in this really gross sweater. And I probably smelled so bad because it was so hot. And it was like a wool sweater. And I was like, thanks for coming by. Okay, bye.
We had some pretty crazy visitors on set. Yeah.
Cord, thank you for doing this.
Yeah, Cord, you're the best.
Yeah, of course, guys.
We love you. Thanks for it's very fun to reminisce about this.
Yeah, I always love talking shop and kicking it with the homies. So, well, guys, I love you both.
Love you.
I miss you. I miss you pieces.
Thank you, Cord.
Thanks, Cord.
Yeah, thank you, guys. You guys are the best. I absolutely adore you. If you guys want to go to Tennessee, you know, I'll get my compound together.
Let you know.
Okay, yeah, please do. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to Showman's Glee Recap Edition.
Get new episodes every Thursday on Spotify, PodcastOne.com, and Apple Podcasts.
Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Jenna Ushkowitz.
Follow me on Instagram at Kevin McHale and on Twitter at Druidude.
Subscribe to the show.
Leave a nice rating.
And a 5-star review.
And spread the word.
See you next week.
Bye.